Welcome to Paula Live Past and Present, the show where you can hear about the history of Paula through the eyes of the people that have lived here. Today's show, we got Daniel Kalak, a doctor, Daniel Kalak, and with him is Tara Milbrand, and they have an interesting story. So this isn't really about the past. This is more about the future of not just Paula, but all the Indian reservations down here in Southern California. And they come and they talk about the program about literacy on the reservations and what Indian Health is actually doing, along with Dr. Dan and Tara Milbrand on the reservations. Also, I have a story by Rosina Lasquez, as told in Patnahil, the Copano language. The story is called The Fox and the Cat. I also have a song by Kupasang and Dance Group. But before we get into those, let's check out a clip from the interview with Dr. Dan and Tara Milbrand is talking about their ultimate purpose, what they're trying to do there.
And people might be wondering, well, what do pediatricians have to do with literacy, right? And a pediatrician, like Dr. Kalak, is concerned with the overall health of the child. So that really starts at birth and starts with their brain development, their social-emotional development, as well as their healthy development. It's all combined. And so the message that he's giving to families is how important it is to be talking to your child when they're first born, to be reading with them at a young age, to be stimulating that brain development. And there's a huge social-emotional component that's going on as well. You're bonding with your child. You're holding them, looking in their eyes, showing them that book together.
So that was Tara Milbrand talking about the literacy program and what they hope to achieve with all the tools they have at their disposal, Indian Health and on the reservations, and the Reach Out and Read program. Now let's have the clip from the story, The Fox and the Cat. All right, The Fox and the Cat. Now, that clip says it all right there. That's about a fox and a cat that are arguing in the woods about who is the better man. And if you want to hear more about the story, it's in page 140 of the Mulawatam, book written by Rosina Lasquez and Jane Hill. So more on The Fox and the Cat later. Now we're going to have a song by the Kupasang and Dance Group. This song was recorded at a festival in Fallbrook, and it's called Kusanam Chiv. Thanks to Kupasang and Dance Group for providing that song for us. And now we'll get into The Fox and the Cat. The Fox and the Cat is a story about two animals deciding, trying to argue about who is the better man. Then they actually run up against Indian hunters that are coming after them. And as the hunters chase them down, though I guess the winner is, which one's the better man, is the one who survives the encounter. And in this case, the story goes that the cat was the better man because the fox is actually cornered by the hunters and killed. But the fox talks about how he's the faster runner. That's why he's the better person. The cat says that he can climb and get up in the trees and hide. Well, as the story goes, the fox doesn't make it. The cat's the winner in this story. So check out this story by Rosina Lasquez as recorded in 1962 as it was told to Jane Hill and is now recorded and saved in Mulawatam.
Mukut pun tak kepiyam, mukut melayu, mukut mi, mukut mas nahanish pemilihan. Makutpak, kawish ispehna an mas na hanish makutpak zat kai pehna an mas etnish katrekut. Chingakul awalem man maa makuna an chawaya pehkut wat kai peh. Pato wish is na an mas na hanish pak ewo na an tira yae wat pehchil kuna yae makutkayak ni nambiyul pehkut. Makutpak zat piyam kai pehkut. Nad iyo ko may pagnan tin na kanis tulad sa mani hiyo ko pekot. Nasa ko mihan na pamiyak na ingat yung pekot. Kaya na kung kalawa chawa, makot kay pek po kawisis. Na ang mas yaay wat pekot. Makot wish chi pam na klan ka chim am iba chim. Makot awalim pam na kushimay singkum. Makot po payik na kan po rato. Pamkot awalim push pam tipin, pamkot awalim tipin ba chim pamiyakan. Makot po rato payik. Amai e papi o panhiu chim o imai e ko ikta ta ko kai pe po na ko nya yengi ko kai ah na me ka ko na ko cha ko kai na ka chim na imi pin ni na ma yelo pe ko ko le cham pe po ga ta ko ko e yan ma awalim po am na ko ta ga po ma po me mo ko di ya pe ing po ko wis si a wa po ka pe ya ma ko po ga ta cha wa po ha nga pe ha ba ks po la a ba ha to la nga Muka tu wajib pemnan melakui sesi muka tu tidak ah ya pang atau mi elok muka tu cakap nak tipe
Okay, that was The Fox and the Cat. Now, my conversation with Daniel Collect and Tara Milbrand. An interesting duo. Both of them working really hard to solve a lot of the problems we have here on the reservation, trying to do everything we can to push them along, help them along in their efforts. So this is my conversation with Dr. Dan and Tara Milbrand. So state your names and who are you and what do you do?
My name is Daniel Kalak, and I'm the Chief Medical Officer at Indian Health Council.
Okay, and your name?
Tara Milbrand, a Project Director for Reach Out and Read San Diego, which is a program of the local chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics.
The clinic and myself and us as partners are very dedicated to outreach and advocacy all throughout the community. Thankfully, the Board of Directors and my CEO, Romel Mahal-McCauley, her executive team are very progressive in the way they're thinking. We have partnerships all across North County with Cal State San Marcos, with SDSU, with the City of San Diego, and as it pertains to where we're here today, with the American Academy of Pediatrics and the local chapter. We also have a vested interest on my behalf. As you well know, I'm a member of the Palma Band of Luceño Indians, and I have a vested interest in the community. Having grown up there and raised there for the better part of my adolescence and my childhood, I know I need to give back to that community. And that's the message I really want to drive home for programs like this, as well as for the people following in my footsteps, because the local academy allowed me to sit on a committee, the Committee on Native American Child Health, CONACH or CONACH. And with the help of the pediatricians in San Diego, someone nominated me, and in making ties with people like Tara Milbrand, who is the director for the Reach Out and Read program, it really helps bring those ties close together here and focused on our community, so we can really make broad steps and make sure we get the resources for the kids, which is what they really need at this juncture. They're in San Diego County. And as we've talked about before, the flux, the social flux of these contemporary times.
I think like a program like this where you're helping parenting, you know, you're not only helping the children, you're helping the parents. It's almost like the trickle-down effect. You're helping the parents to be better parents, and in a sense that helps the children without actually approaching the children, you know, first. I mean, obviously you're approaching children as well.
You know, I want to back up a little bit, just that people might be wondering, well, what do pediatricians have to do with literacy, right? And a pediatrician like Dr. Kalak is concerned with the overall health of the child. So that really starts at birth and starts with their brain development, their social-emotional development, as well as their healthy development. It's all combined. And so the message that he's giving to families is how important it is to be talking to your child when they're first born, to be reading with them at a young age, to be stimulating that brain development. And there's a huge social-emotional component that's going on as well. You're bonding with your child. You're holding them, looking in their eyes, showing them that book together. And it's all part of that positive parenting that you're talking about. And so I know that comes up like, what? Why are pediatricians involved in this? Because they really are concerned from the day that they're born about their healthy development, the social, emotional, the brain development. All of that is combined with the work that Dr. Kalak's doing with promoting to parents the importance of starting young, reading aloud, talking, sharing your stories. That's all part of it.
So what more can you say about reading to children and also telling stories to children?
The storytelling, like you're saying, it's also great, stimulating their curiosity and imagination.
That's the great thing about the early reading programs is that, you know, beginning as early as 6 months, you're forming those nerve connections within the brain, which kind of peaks at about a year. And, you know, we've shared this information with some of the local tribes, with the Southern California Tribal Chairman's Association. They've allowed us to present a couple different times. And I know eyes really open up, and they realize the importance of early reading to the community members, to children. And when you do have that early interaction at 6 months, because they know that they're probably going to get the book, they're going to, you know, a 6-month-old is going to put it in its mouth and chew on the edges, which is great, but they have the book in their hands. And so at 9 months, or maybe messing around with the book, holding it, floating around across the room, maybe at a year, they're maybe looking at it, maybe pointing at things, you're doing like, you know, pig, cow. But, you know, those early developments really pay off in the long run. So when kids are entering into kindergarten, pre-K, first grade, they already have those tools to really kind of help them. They're familiar with books. They've had this stimulation, as Tara had said, with language and emotionality, with social interaction. It crosses so many different boundaries and areas of a kid's development that a simple book, actually, given at a well child care exam, could really make a profound effect in a child's life.
And really stressing the importance that parents are the first and best teacher. So giving them the advice, the information they need, you know, a parent of a 6-month-old might think, that's too young to read. They're just going to put that book in their mouth, which is true. They do put it in their mouth. But they're also looking at the pictures, and they're interested in what they're seeing. And just giving them advice on what's appropriate for each stage of development that, you know, a parent might come in and say, oh, they're too active. They don't want to sit still. Well, that's true at 12 months. They want to run around, and you'll find some quiet time, and just let them guide you, right? If it's right. 5 minutes, that's okay. And that's the kind of advice that Dr. Kalak would give so that parents feel successful in working with their kids on.
What else can you tell me about the program?
Maybe Tara could tell us a little bit about the history, about its startings and beginnings in Boston.
Sure. So the program was started in 1989 by a pediatrician in Boston. He brought in some books into his waiting room, and they all disappeared. And instead of seeing that as a problem, he thought, this is what these kids need. They need more books. And he started this program, giving children books. And now they've done 14 peer-reviewed studies to show that parents who read to their children, who participate in this program with the pediatrician giving them the read-aloud advice, read aloud more often to their kids, have more books in their home, and actually the children have higher vocabulary scores. And so 6 months sometimes above the other kids who aren't participating in this program. So when you're 5 years old, 6 months is a pretty significant portion of your life. Mm-hmm. And so now the program operates in every state throughout the United States. Here in San Diego, we have 73 pediatric medical offices that participate in the program. We have about 75,000 children a year that we give books away to with the read aloud advice. So we're supporting the pediatricians in their efforts to get the books out. And we have four of the Native American Indian Health sites that participate. So. And we're very fortunate that the Paula Tribe actually has supported us over 5 years. They've partnered with us to help us to get more books out to kids. And one of our goals also is to always have culturally appropriate books for children. And so we've been working on that with the help of Dr. Braun Anders, who's had 15, 20 years of experience working as a pediatrician at Southern Indian Health. So she has a lot of connections and has helped to make that happen.
Southern Indian Health.
So those are the clinics down in Campo and Alpine.
Another question about literacy is Lexile factor, kids' understanding of what they're saying. Talked with one parent who brought her kids into school here, and they were reading at like third grade level. But then when they started going to school, they realized they didn't understand the words they were reading. You know, they could say them, but they didn't know what they meant. So. How is that approached as far as actual understanding of the language skills they're getting?
Well, it's important once they go to school that the teachers can help them find age-appropriate books, books that are within their lexile. So that would really be something once they go to school that the teachers can help them out with.
That's a very good question, actually, Eric. And many parents and adults alike don't really appreciate the complexities of reading and language, receptive language, expressive language, of interaction and incorporating that type of language with body posture and so forth. Because, you know, in many ways, it's much more difficult. And radio is a perfect example, seeing someone on television and seeing the gesticulations, the facial features, which go right along with reading and with the receptive expressive forms of communicating. And so if a child is not processing for a variety of reasons, whether it be something genetic or something that was developmental that needs to be nurtured and changed and modified, then it's important that that's recognized at an earlier age. And so if we're able to identify that problem at an earlier age, 6 months, a year, 18 months, 2 years, and make the appropriate interventions, then that child's going to benefit, you know, farther on down the road versus waiting until they're 5 years old. We're actually involved with some advocacy groups with Cal State San Marcos, and the point was brought up that really 5 years, when they enter kindergarten, is much too late. They need to really be identified at early ages, 6 months to a year, in order to kind of make those changes.
So I was wondering if there was plans for cooperation property program with here at Vivian Banks.
The Indian Health Council, as I said, is you know, very progressive in its advocacy throughout the community. By providing opportunities like this to really get the word out and having people come forward and simply asking, would you mind coming down to a school, or what services could you actually offer? Or just getting those children in and getting those parents activated about coming in for their well child care clinics. That's half the battle. By partnering with the with individual schools and allowing them to kind of reap the benefit of the programs that we have at the clinic. And it's not only just the pediatric services, but it's, you know, those screening tools that we use to identify those children who need other services and the referral out for those children for further evaluation for issues they may be having for language. And so, again, by identifying and doing the outreach, whether it be with Vivian Banks or with some of the other charter schools locally or some of the other public schools in elementary, the door is kind of wide open.
I know Ms. Varna down there, Varna Trujillo, she runs the library down there, and she's always looking for different ways to get more books for the kids that are, you know, age appropriate, I guess modern day books. You know, there's a lot of new authors out there, new books, and make things more appropriate, where it'd be nice to read a book that at least mentions a computer in it, whereas some of the other books they had there never mentioned a computer because they didn't exist when the book was written.
I'm glad you brought that up, actually, with in terms of computers. And so there's and in terms of funding, and there's been some new information out from the American Academy of Pediatrics about screen time. And screen time is the amount of time that a child spends in front of a DS, in front of a computer, in front of an iPad, in front of a TV, in front of a movie theater, just watching a movie. And so that recommendation is to have the child, you know, less than an hour, 2 hours after a certain age. But between the ages of 0 and 2, the new recommendations are to have no screen time, and just to allow them to interact with adults or caregivers, reading books, tactile sensations. But by taking out that screen time, that iPad, the iPhone, that allows the child to use other senses. Right now, they're being exposed to maybe themes and technology that they're not really ready to really understand. And allowing them to wait until 2 years of age, they're able to have more tools and the intellect to really kind of understand what a cartoon on an iPhone really means. So 0 to 2, no technological devices in their hands, just books probably be the best thing.
And that language development really happens best when people are talking to each other. It doesn't happen in front of a TV. That's not the way to help your, you know, you think, oh, this is educational, but really the best thing to do is talk to your child, point out things around you in the environment. And then going back to children understanding what they're reading in a book, that is another message that I know that Dr. Clack is giving, is telling the parents to talk about what's happening in the book. And so then you're giving, they call it dialogic reading, so that the child is talking about what's happening, the parents talking about what's happening. It's not just the words in the book, so they're kind of explaining. And I know we do that in our house too. I have a 6-year-old and we read aloud, and sometimes I stop the book and I'm like, do you understand what that said? And we're reading Little House on the Prairie right now, and She says, no, I don't know. Because it's a little bit advanced, some of the things they're talking about that we just don't do anymore. You know, being a pioneer is a very different life. So kind of just seeing if they're understanding, and you can do that when they read their own books and tell me about your book and, you know, what was happening in that book and have them explain that. That's why it's great to have the interaction between the parent and child, so the parent can be explaining some of these things that the child's just not getting. And they're being exposed to a lot of words that you don't hear in normal everyday context necessarily in books. You hear a lot of different words, and they need that their parents' guidance, especially at the young ages, to be learning what do those words mean and how do they fit into the context of this book. Well, another point I'd just like to make is that we're really focusing on making sure that the books and the advice that parents receive is language appropriate, culturally appropriate, and so our program buys books in different languages to make sure, you know, like you said, the parents can be reading a book in English, but if they speak Spanish, that's not going to help them to talk to the child about what's happening in the book. So we want to make sure that the books are appropriate, so we're always looking for those appropriate books for the families.
And that's a very common issue in this part of the country where you have people in the household that their primary language is Spanish or even some other language, and there's English is their secondary language.
Well, there's a lot of research that families should speak in their native language to their child. They need to hear a lot of language, the constructs of language, and then once they go to school, whatever language is spoken at that school, they're going to learn it because they're immersed in that culture. But it's important for them to have those building blocks. And so when you look at some of the studies, at 18 months of age, you can see a huge difference between kids who are talked to all the time, read to all the time, and kids who aren't. They have about 30 million more words in their vocabulary, and they understand how to kind of construct sentences and talk fluently. But if you're trying to speak in a language that you're not fluent in, you're not going to give your children those building blocks. And so that's another message that our pediatricians are giving to families, is that if this is your native language, that's what you should speak to your child.
And that really translates further on into life. And as everyone's really aware, there's this, you know, large educational movement across the United States in core competencies and trying to get those into the schools in a more formatted way. And they focus on a variety of issues, but the issues with early education and reading and success for Native American children drives right at why Reach Out and Read is so important, because the development that you're promoting at that earlier age will pay long dividends in addressing the less than 1% of the undergraduates, the graduates, the American Indian, Alaska Natives that are in education now, because it's a very common statistic when you look all across all educational standards and evaluations, is that Native Americans are and Alaska Natives are less than 1% of almost all graduates in all fields. And so by addressing some of these issues, you can also look at the effects it's going to have on communities later on when those individuals come back and they'll provide other services. They're architects, they're engineers, they're teachers.
Pediatricians,
and allowing them to really help the community. So this is it's a great boon for everyone.
I read a study, I think it was in the Atlantic magazine or something like that, where they were talking about schools that offered foreign languages, even in like third grade and up. If they offered a foreign language, it actually helped kids to learn English better, because like you say, they can analyze. I mean, when you talk about your own language, well, this is the way we say it. You don't know why you say it that way. This is the way mom said it, this is the way dad said it, so this is the way we say it. Whereas if you look at a different language, you realize you can break down your language more as to how you say things. Mm-hmm.
There's several preschools on some of the different tribes that are doing language immersion.
Yes, yeah, it's very exciting. And actually those and even at home, for those families that are teaching Luceno there, those free key words, or exposing them to those different language formats, or just promoting that interaction, those neuronal connections, those nerve connections are critical at those ages, 0 to 3, up to 4 maybe. But after age 4, whatever you have in terms of your neuronal connections and your nerve connections is all you're going to have for the rest of your life. And so after that, things are slowly kind of pruned back. And so you really kind of need to front load their experiences from 0 to 3 with the language development, with social interaction, with speaking to them. And after that, then they're quote-unquote tool set that they kind of have in terms of neuronal connections, nerve connections in their brain is much bigger, and their ability to understand concepts, their ability to apply concepts, their ability to really be plastic, in the way they're approaching the world is it's much bigger.
So that's really our take-home message today, is that parents, grandparents, caregivers, you know, start reading, talking, sharing stories from birth.
I guess that that's all. I want to thank you for coming by, and I want to thank Dr. Dan for taking time out to come over. I wanted to share my respect for Dr. Dan, being a young man, growing up on the reservation, went to school to the same schools we all did, and continued on to become a doctor, and then to come back to the reservation. And I don't know if you hear that enough about how much of an effort some people, they make that educational jump and they go on to bigger and better things. And not to say that not what you're doing isn't great. It is great. And it's good to see you're back on the reservation. And also, great respect to your family, because you actually come from a family of educators and medical.
Medicine medical background. Yes, medicine.
Your mom and...
my uncle Damian actually was a medicine
Damian,
man.
Damian, medicine man. I had the chance to talk to Donald Jameson as well as Sam Reed. They both spoke about Damian and the things that he could do, and without all the x-rays and all the stuff that you have today. So, great respects.
Thank you.
All right, that concludes our conversation that I had with Dr. Dan and Tara Milbrand. Story was The Fox and the Cat, which was recorded in 1962, and the song was by the Kupa Song and Dance Group, Kusanam Chiyup. All right, looks like we might have time for just one more song, and I'll fit it in before we close it all out.
Aya, 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 mom ya malnaka. Aya, 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 mom ya malnaka. He sweat home with ashwat, eve yam pam kal. Achi yam cham te wem, mom ya malnaka. Aya, 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 mum ya malnaka. Aya, 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 mum ya malnaka. He sweat home with ashwat, eve yam pam kal. Achi yam cham te wem, mum ya malnaka. Aya, 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 mom ya malnaka. Aya, 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 mom ya malnaka. He sweat home with ashwat, eve yam pam kal. Achi yam cham te wem, mom ya malnaka. Aya, 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 mom ya malnaka. Aya, 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 mom ya malnaka.
So this is Eric Ortega of Paula Life Past and Present, getting ready to sign off. If you have any questions, comments, opinions, or ideas for interviews, give me a call, 760-742-4200, or you can email me at 91.3@paulatribe.com. And this is Eric Ortega saying, Yichang.